Okay, then, we're on talk 8 of our Romans series. So the theme today is renewal of the mind, sacrifice and service. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12. Okay? It's quite a challenge to try and fit into one talk the whole of Romans 12. So I'm going to break it into three chunks. And I'm going to put probably most of the time in the first chunk and the second chunk, okay? But just before that, I'd just like to pray for a second. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the richness that we find in it, and it opens our mind to begin to understand you, Lord Jesus. And we just pray today that your Spirit would speak to us and challenge us and renew us and change us, Lord. Let this be much more than just head knowledge. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm just do a tiny quick recap for a second or two and then go into chapter 12. So up to now, in our study of Romans, we've been focusing on a lot of ideas and concepts, and there's quite a lot of theological kind of ideas, if you like. So we've been looking at righteousness, which isn't a word that we use particularly in everyday life. We've been talking about the law, and particularly in relation to the Ten Commandments and the Jewish law. We've been talking about justification, another word that we'd hardly use in everyday life. We've been talking about sin and death and burial in Christ as a believer. And then we've been talking about freedom from death in the resurrection of Jesus. We've been talking about the life in the Spirit. And then last week we had a slight side turn, if you like, in terms of that flow of ideas and concepts. And Tom was talking about Israel and the role of Israel and how it fits in with Scripture and all these kind of things. And there's an awful lot in that. And we've been exercising our minds trying to understand these things. And going through it systematically each week, I think, has been very helpful in mapping out our understanding that Paul gives us in Romans. So it's been a little bit hard work, okay? it hasn't been all jolly, but it's worth doing, okay? If you want to get fit, you have to do some exercise, and it's worth doing the work. Now, today, we're going to get a little bit more practical, okay, in terms of what Romans covers. So you're not allowed to fall asleep, okay? And it's a bit of a wake-up call. You can sit down and think about theology and been safe, but now you've got to start to turn it into action in your life, okay? It's got to be real. It's got to be translated from head knowledge into action knowledge in your life. So that's what I'm trying to emphasize today. Okay, so we're going to look at Romans 12, which is a very famous chapter in the whole of the New Testament, and I'm a bit in awe of it, really. On one hand, you could say, well, we'll just read it and go home because it says it all. But then I kind of get fired at the job at sharing, if you like. So I'm going to try and break it up into manageable parts today and hopefully get covered in the next half an hour. Okay, so I'm going to say that in Romans 12, we can see that Paul is giving us guidelines on how believers should live their lives, which is very helpful, okay, because we've had a lot of theory up to now, but this is the how to do things, and we'll break it into three sections. We'll begin by looking at being a living sacrifice. Doesn't sound good, does it? And then we'll move on to serving each other. Again, doesn't sound great. And thirdly, loving all, okay? So you've got to get activated on this. You can't just sit on the pew and fall asleep in your life. Okay, so we're going to look at three things Preachers like to look at three things. Educational psychologists like to do three things, because we can just about hold on to three things with our minds. So I'm going to do three chunks today, and the first two chunks are what I hopefully would emphasize most, perhaps. Okay, so first chunk then is to be a living sacrifice. And these are probably the most famous words that you might remember from Romans 12. Now, this is from the NIV version, so it's a little bit different to what if you have an older authorized mindset. It says, so Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, so he's talking to those in the church, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay. So I'm going to put out some keywords that from this first section, and we're going to look at the words offer, we're going to look at be transformed, we're going to look at test, and approve. Okay, I'm just putting those words out to help us break up this little first chunk. Okay, so those are the keys to the first section of Romans 12. Offer, be transformed, test, and approve. Okay, so we'll look at offer first of all. Okay, so we offer ourselves to God. Okay, so it's in the present tense. It's not when I'm clean and when I'm perfect. You come to God as you are now, in the present. Okay? And it's a choice you do, you offer. God is waiting, He's knocking on the door, and it's for you to offer to Him, if you like. So you might want to come as you are. You might feel, well, you had a bit of a row with your wife in the morning, or you were cursing at work, or you drank too much, or you did something wrong, okay? So you clean up your act, you say sorry to God, you come and you receive forgiveness. And it's in a sense, you clean up your act as the Spirit of God convicts you, as His Spirit of God reveals to you areas of your life that you need to bring into His life and light to be cleansed. Okay, so you don't need to be perfect, you can come as you are, and if there's problems, then Jesus has answers for you. And then Paul talks about worship. Okay, you come and you worship. And we've been worshiping today, and there's a beautiful sweetness when we come together and worship Jesus. Okay, just to remind you the verse there. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. A couple of people were talking about Romans 12 in the week, and they both, well, all three people recalled the old kind of beginning, and it's Paul saying, I beseech you. And it seemed to have a resonance with the three people I've heard said this, so I just wanted to reiterate this, okay? Now, I don't know what it meant to them particularly, but Paul is pleading, okay? He's not commanding. He's not giving an order. He's calling on something in you to encourage you to do this, okay? Because you can't legislate. You can't. There's no law, if you like, to do this. This is of your own volition, and Paul is saying, you know, do this. This is really important. But you have to choose to do it. Okay? So we've all chosen to come into the meeting today, this morning, But it's up to you to choose to be a living sacrifice, okay? To be doing this on a daily basis, as BB was talking about. And this is your true and proper worship, if you like, Paul is saying. And this is the most wonderful thing in life, in a way. Okay, it's a really deep, profound thing that your worship to Jesus, okay, is deeper than your mind. And it goes to the depths of your spirit and soul. And if you activate this part of your life, I'm almost to say you'll become a complete person, if you like. Because so many of us, in the busyness of life, we don't worship. Okay? We don't worship God. We don't worship Jesus. Okay, that was the first key word in this section. And then Paul is talking about being transformed. Okay? Transformed. So trans, it gives a sense of movement, and form gives a sense of shape. Okay, so we're changing. Paul is saying, be transformed. So if he's saying, be transformed, he's assuming that you need to go from one place to another. Okay? And he's saying he's almost saying that this is what is normal for us as believers. Okay, so we can forget the idea of being perfect and pretending we don't sin, okay, or pretending we don't have problems. It's taking where you are now and moving a step forward, okay, and it's being changed. And he talks about being changed in your mind, okay. Now, when we come to Christ, our spirits are renewed and changed, if you like, and that transformation has happened. Now, our bodies are lagging behind massively, and as we get older, they get tubbier, typically, and they get creakier. Okay, so we're not talking about our bodies being particularly transformed. It's your mind, and it's the kind of things that go on in your mind need to be changed. So if you're kind of settled and, you know, I'm okay with the way I am, well, that's in variance of what Paul is trying to say. He's saying your mind should be changing. Okay? So, what do you listen to? What you listen to will fill your mind with thoughts. Okay? So, if you listen to good things, you will fill your mind with good thoughts. If you think of bad things, you will fill your mind with bad thoughts, if you like, to put it very that simple. So he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, okay, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this world that we live in, that we have family in, that we have friends, that we have neighbors in, that we work in, that we watch the TV in, we go on the internet, text message, videos, and so on, is not the kingdom of God, is not what heaven is like, is not what it is like to be in the presence of God. It is different, okay? But we live in it, and it tends to war against, if you like, what the kingdom of heaven is in true reality. If we were standing next to Jesus face to face, okay? And that is the battle that needs to go on. Our minds need to be renewed and changed, okay? So a little picture of a caterpillar. The caterpillar one day is changed to the butterfly, if you like, and he becomes a chrysalis. But that's kind of a big picture that happens to us. One day we will see him face to face. In the blink of an eye, we will be transformed. But as we are today, we need to keep on being changed, because you either in this progression, you either go forwards or you go backwards. Life is like an escalator going the wrong way, okay? And unless you are transformed by the Holy Spirit, you'll probably end up going backwards in terms of struggling with spiritual things. Okay, just give you it's a very simple example. This isn't a spiritual example, but of the way things affect us. Okay, who's that? That is Enda Kenny, the Taoiseach of Ireland, and his picture is on Time magazine there, and the headline is The Celtic Comeback. Okay? Now, I showed to this a group of students in the week, and in a completely different context, and they thought it was a spoof. Well, I should say, most of them thought it was a spoof. They thought it was a made-up picture of Enda Kenny on the cover of Time magazine, which is one of the most widely spread magazines in the world. If you go to any city in the world, news agents, you'll find Time magazine. It gives an American viewpoint. And I just read this because you probably won't be able to read the writing. It says, Prime Minister Enda Kenny is rebuilding the country's economy. What the rest of Europe can learn from him. So this is the world view of Enda Kenny, that he is a leading light for Europe and to show Europe how we should be leading our countries in terms of economic development. Okay? Now, all of us here, by the looks on your faces, are molded by the media in Ireland. And we have a completely different mindset. In as much as we think Enda Kenny, he can't talk properly, he won't answer questions in the Dáil. He's wooden. But the image outside internationally is that he is a leader showing Europe the way forward, which is correct. Okay? So what I'm saying is what you listen to affects your mindset. Okay? Now that's just in political sense. I'm not trying to say in terms of politics or anything. But your mind will be formed by what you listen to. Okay. Say it again, Terry. Anyway, it's just an example. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So Anne's saying that the be transformed really means being transformed in the present tense and the continuous tense. Okay? And that's a critical understanding. Because if you think one day I'll be changed, then it doesn't have any relevance for today. Yeah, or if you think you have already been changed, you'll just sit down and that's it, fall asleep, if you like. So there is a sense that we have changed, because when we come to Christ, our life changes, our spirits are renewed, and there is a sense in the future there will be another fuller transformation, but there is a present transformation that we should be active in, and that's what's coming out of this passage. Okay? Now, we could talk a lot about this, okay, but I'm trying to cover the whole of the chapter, so we'll keep going. So the other words that we don't particularly emphasize, or I wouldn't particularly, in this little section, is Paul then says, test and approve what's God's will for you, okay? So how can you test God's will for you, okay? How do we know what God's will for us is? That's a big question. That's a very big question. So obviously, we need to reflect our lives in relation to Scripture and what the New Testament is teaching, and we need to reflect it with our brothers and sisters, whether what we are doing with our lives, the direction of our lives, is in accordance with the Spirit. But would you even consider that? In your own life, are you testing to see whether you are doing what God wants you to be doing. Okay? Or you're just going to drift through it. Okay? Sorry, that statement, the ongoing change is normal and to be expected in a healthy believer is a bit what Anne was referring to. Okay, so we are where we are today and we can test things out to see whether we're on the right track even. Whether the direction is right that we are traveling. Okay, and what I would say to this is what Paul is saying and what he is uncovering from the wisdom of the kingdom of God is that your journey through life, your renewal in your mind, the direction is that you begin to understand what God is like, what his character is like. And you begin to understand it to the point that his character becomes your character. His nature becomes your nature. Now, he is God. And God is very big. And that's why I say we begin. And that's why we're changing. Because it's a lot bigger than our minds can cope with. So it's a journey. Okay? And we see what God is like in the New Testament through the life of Jesus. And we experience it today through the Spirit of Jesus or the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay? And then if you are progressing, if you are changing, then you'll be able to test, okay, the direction of God's will in your life, if you like. And then this is a fantastic word, approve. We're very bad at this, okay? We're appalling at this. So if God is saying something, approving it is having a stamp on it, saying, this is what God is saying for you. And he gives a great strength, okay? Just look at his good and pleasing perfect will. Just a couple of silly pictures. So test God's will. Okay, this guy's got shoes on, okay? Are they the right size for him? Do you ever buy a pair of shoes without trying them on first? No, you always check them on to see whether test to see where they fit, okay? So in the direction of your life, you test to see what you're doing is God's will. And then through looking at Scripture, your brothers and sisters in the church, if you like, then we can approve, we can stamp, and we can say, yes, this is the way God is leading you. Okay, this is good for you. This is what God wants for you. And that's enormously freeing, isn't it? But we're very bad at doing it. We're shy of that. We're kind of a bit, we don't like to say, well, God's will for me is this. We're a bit shy, but maybe we need to think about this and reflect on this and move a little bit, you know. It isn't all about this person is called to go to the far side of the world and be a glorious missionary for Christ. That's not what it's about. It's about David in his job in Rathkeel, if you like. It's Anne-Marie serving with the women she does. And it's approving of what they do in the kingdom of God. And there's a great freedom and satisfaction then, and confidence in knowing you're in the right place at the right time. Okay? Now, the second section, Romans 12, just to keep moving on, is the theme. And the NIV, it calls about humble service in the body of Christ. So we're talking about being active. Okay, for the verse 3 then, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, okay, so that includes Angel, okay, it includes every one of us, Patricia, every one of us, Jim, Andy, every one of us, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. Okay? For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Okay? And then, last verse here. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we'll just look at each of those three verses in turn for a second. Okay. So looking at the first verse there. Are you the best? Okay, do you think of yourself as Superman or Superwoman? I'm the best. Okay? I'm the best at praying, or I'm the best at washing up, or I'm the best at Sunday school. Okay? Or do you think of yourself as the worst? Loser. Okay? Oh, I'm no good. I can't do this. I can't do that. Okay? So Paul is saying, look, don't go one way or the other way. Just think of yourselves calmly. Don't get too overexcited about yourself. Okay? Don't think you're really important, but don't think you're no value. Okay? So he's just tempering us, and then he goes on. And he says we're connected to each other. Okay? We are a family. We affect each other. You are not an island. Whatever you do touches other people. We love each other. We should care for each other. There's a connection with each other. So for each of us has one, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We're connected. And we're just a small group of believers here. There are other believers in the town, and the county, and the country, and the world, and we are connected to them. Okay. And each of us has a gift, and each of us has something to offer. Okay? Nobody is exempt from that. Everybody here has something to offer. Now, there may be times in your life when you offer more times than other, and sometimes we go through hard times, and sometimes we have good times, but we always have something to offer. Okay, we have different gifts, okay? Tom and I are vastly different in our gifts in some regards, or Mary and myself. We have different gifts, but that doesn't mean that I'm better than Mary or Mary is better than myself. We are different, and that's the way God wants it. And he has made you to be unique. There is nobody like you in the rest of the world amongst the other 6 billion people alive today. Okay, so Paul lists out the kind of things that you might get, that your gift might be connected with. And there are other lists of gifts in the New Testament, but I'm just going to stick to the ones here in Romans 12. Okay? Now, whether he has them in a particular order or not, he doesn't say. So I'm just going to keep to the order. So the first thing he talks about prophesying. So we tend to have a kind of a mindset about prophesying and maybe put it aside a little bit. But prophesying is really speaking the word of God to each other. It's if God is saying something through you, if you like, that is prophesying. So all of us can be a channel for God to speak to somebody else. It doesn't need to be highfalutin prophecy, standing up in the front and being dramatic. Okay, God can speak through a donkey. You remember the story in the Old Testament? Can prophesy through a donkey. So it's not to do with your gifting. It's whether you will allow God to speak through your life. Now, it mightn't even be words. It may be the things that you do and the way that you do them. But let God speak through you. Okay? Other gifts, he talks about serving. Okay, so if you can wash up the tea afterwards, wash it up. You know, let's serve it. If you can do a brush and broom, clean up afterwards. You know, we can all do that. We can serve each other. We can help each other. Teaching. Now, not everybody might want to stand up in the front and speak or take a Sunday school class. So that's a different kind of gift. But if you have a gift like that, then by all means, share in the church life. Encouraging. We all need encouragement from time to time. Okay? If you can encourage somebody, do it. That's what Paul's saying. Be active. Giving. We can all give to each other. We can help each other. We can give financially to the church, if you like, or give to people in need. And he's talking about if you have lots of money, then give lots. leading then. If you can lead, then he talks about doing it diligently, so not really lording it over people, saying you're bigger than anybody else. But if you have a gift of leading, then it's good to use that gift. It's there for a purpose. Showing mercy is the last one. That's an unusual one, isn't it? I fear for the person who has a gift for showing mercy. Because, like, if you have to show mercy, there must be a reason for showing mercy. So somebody has done something to you that requires showing the mercy back. It's the last but the least. But surely, do you know, sadly sometimes in churches, forgiveness can be the hardest thing. Okay, and we upset each other. We hurt each other. We run over each other's toes. We don't mean to do it. We just do it. So we have to show mercy to each other. We forgive each other. You know, we go soft. We say, it's all right. It's gone. It doesn't matter. It's forgotten. And that's good. That's good for being together. It frees us up. Okay? So get active in the College of Teaching. We talk about active learning. So this is active living. Do these things in your life. Wherever you have a gift, activate it. Don't let it sit in the ground and dormant. If you want to do something in the church, then talk to the leadership team. Bring out your ideas. Let's get more active. Let's stir each other up. If you can see something, it may be because God is showing you something that we should be doing. Okay? And God is relying on you to speak it out to the rest of the body. And the last section is about love. Okay, love in action. And it's just giving us practical examples to have in our life. Now, I don't really want to, I don't have time to go through all this in detail, so we'll read it, okay? And I'll just make some general comments. So love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with the people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will burn coals on his head. Okay, do not be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. Okay, So there's a lot in there. We could talk a lot about it, but I'm not going to. Our time has gone really. But yeah, okay, Tom. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, verse 12, Tom was saying, be joyful in hope, patience in affliction, faithful in prayer. Just encompasses Ann Wolfe's life as we remember her. Very special. So, what I want to say, and to just summarize that, okay, we've been looking at Romans, and we've been talking about the law and how it was impossible to live up to the law in our lives, dotting the T's and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. So what we have here, if you like, is a description of a life energized by the Spirit of God. So as the Spirit of God is working your life, changing you, renewing you, your life will move to fit more of this, okay? So don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful what you do is right in the eye. You know, these things we kind of move into. When somebody upsets you, your initial reaction is, okay? You want to defend yourself. You want to justify yourself. These kind of things. So this is a life that Paul is describing. I'm saying this way. This is the direction your life is being transformed towards. And some of us will be better in some areas, and some of us will be falling behind in other areas. But together, we will encourage each other to love each other and have this kind of love together and demonstrate it out into the world where, if you like, people don't have the benefit of the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God in their lives to renew them. And then we are a signpost to their lives. We are a prophetic symbol, if you like, to them, of a way to live that's energized by God in us. So that's love in action. It's just not theory. And then just to conclude, to summarize to some degree what we've covered in Romans 12, okay, let the Spirit of God, let him. Okay, he wants to. Let him wash you, heal you, transform you, or change your mind. Do it daily, because you will be dirtied daily by the world outside there. Each day, even many times during the day, okay, let the Spirit wash you, heal you, transform you. So be renewed. Fresh beginnings each day. And the result of that is that your character becomes more like Jesus in your journey through life. Each day, as Anne was saying, be renewed. Each day, continuous tense going on. Okay? So over a long period of time, your character then becomes changed, if you like. So you go through a journey through life. It's a journey. It's a progression, a step-by-step, day-by-day experience. And that is the Christian normal, if you like. That is what is normal for us. Sometimes it's more active. Other times we get a bit lazy and fall back. Okay? So through the ups and downs of life. But the direction you're heading is mapped out here. So let's just close in the word of prayer. So thank you for the promises we read, Lord, in Romans 12. And we pray you'd show us more about testing and approving your will in our lives, Lord. And we pray that you'd help us by your Spirit and by your word to renew us daily in our lives. And we pray that the fruit in our lives will be good and bountiful and it'd be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name.